Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Audible brings your wildest adventures to life, delivering heart-pounding thrills at the touch of a button. Take Richard Osman's The Thursday Murder Club, where four retirees turned amateur sleuths solve crimes in the most unexpected ways, brilliantly performed by Leslie Manville. Ready to unleash your adventurous side? From pulse-racing suspense to epic quests, from supernatural chills to far-off romances, every story comes alive through world-class narration. Explore exclusive Audible originals, chart-topping new releases, and unforgettable bestsellers that transport you from the very first word. Because the next great adventure is just a listen away. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUK. That's audible.com/WonderyUK.
When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Well, I mean, it is beyond our honor to have two luminaries in the field of media with us.
Wow.
Welcome. Welcome actually back to the show in both cases, Dorinda Medley and Kiki Monique. Welcome to Watch What Crappens.
Yes, we're very excited to be here.
Yeah.
So you guys tell us what's going on. So you're doing a show together now on Sirius?
We combined forces. So Kiki's been doing Reality Checked. I've been doing Reality Checked. And they decided to take the two great ones and put them together. I mean, if we're good separate, you can only imagine what we're like together. And Kiki's so good because Kiki is the real mind behind it. She goes deep. She studies the trials. She's very detailed. I'm great with all the commentary, something new and different.
Yeah, Kiki will show up on your doorstep.
Yeah, you know, I'm a stalker, for sure.
She told me yesterday that after Shannon Bedore's crash, she actually jumped in her car and got to the scene to get a piece of the cement or whatever it is before it left.
This is Shannon's. This is Karen's. Yeah.
No, you don't. You have Karen's too?
Yeah, I don't have a display yet, but they're in. They're here. I got to find good display.
I guess.
You're a sick woman.
You have to send Kiki a little piece of Bluestone Manor to go along, like, just in the cement collection.
Yeah, she's got to come and sleep in the fish room.
Yes, for sure.
Give her a piece that Ramona broke off when she had all the lighting ripped
yeah,
down.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, yes.
I have my Bluestone Manor bourbon, which I love. It's so, the bottle is beautiful. So Dorinda gave us these when, Dorinda, you came to our 2021 the Crappies Awards. That was our first one back after lockdown, and it was also our 10-year anniversary. That was an immensely special show, and we were just saying right beforehand that, like, I don't know if we've ever heard the audience scream and just, like, lose their minds more than when you surprised everyone on that stage.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. The energy was so good that night, and I couldn't believe how packed it was. And, you know, we it was so nice because we all just had come out of the pandemic. So we were all kind of back in it again, but not, you know, used to being very isolated. You know, we were all like, can I do that? Can I touch that? Can I see that? So when I came on stage and, you know, that I hadn't been in a room with that many people in, well, almost years, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. This year at the Crappies, I played you. I did a number as you in a turban. I did you from Sunset Boulevard. You were singing the song from Sunset Boulevard.
Well, that fits. I'm surprised you didn't get a call from Luann saying, how dare you?
Stepping out our cabaret.
I'm the one that discovered Sunset Boulevard, for God's sake, darling.
I was in the original cast.
They actually asked me to be in it last week, but I couldn't do it. Cabaret.
It used to be called Sag Harbor Boulevard.
I was just out with Luann like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, not really?
I was out with Luann, Sonia, Ramona. There was a bunch of us on just catching up. We have a group and we kind of once every couple months, someone just decides we're all going to get on a Zoom and talk about, you know, there's always some way. I swear to God, Sonia was still, it opened up with talking about Mr. Morgan. So it never changes.
I'm so fascinated by people's group chats. Like when I hear like this is a group chat, I'm like, this is the one I want to be peeking into. Like, who cares about the Valley Boys chat? That sounds gross.
Well, can I tell you something, Kiki? I thought of you because there was a woman on that was sort of acting as a commentator that brought like has this idea for all of us. And she literally, at one point, I said to her, Tracy, are you going to speak? She goes, I don't know how to enter this. I don't even know what, I'm so over, I thought I was going to be in control of this meeting, but I don't know how to enter. I'm just having fun watching it.
With all four of you, there's no way.
Yeah, there's no controlling that.
No.
Yeah. I do love that you guys actually are like a real like circle, right? Because some shows you sort of feel like, Once filming ends, they just go their separate ways and then they come back and they all pretend like
you guys know we've been friends for so long. I mean, the show kind of, it was something I think in a lot of ways was made because of our crazy eccentric lives in New York City and the fact that we had such foundations with each other and each other's kids and marriages and divorces and baptisms and dog deaths and graduations. I mean, there's always been at least funerals. There's always been at least one of us in the, you know, in the audience of life throughout the last decades, you know?
And that's like what worries me too about like future like reality stars. Like I'm excited about Gen NYC, that whole thing. But like, I think that like people don't have relationships in the same way because they meet online or they just, you know, they're just so used to being behind keyboards where you have a group of women where it's like, yeah, you were going to lunches and galas and all of these things.
I'll be honest with you, a lot of that has to be because New York was, because the only form of communication we had during then was work, happy hours, and your answering machine. So, you know, you had to get out there and meet people because, you know, there was no city in your apartment. Otherwise, you had no ability to communicate. I also truly believe that our generation, what is our generation again? I don't even know.
I think you're X, right?
I think you might be X.
And I'm not saying this like our mothers that are like, that was the best music. Although I think our era music is still the best music. But okay. I do think our generation of especially women were very social. Very tribal, very social. We were always together. I mean, there was an incredible Instagram the other day that this comedian had on, and he shows a bunch of women going to different places and farms and shopping. He goes, what is it with you and girls' weekends? You say girls' weekends. You always need something. Girls' dinner, girls' weekend, girls' outing. You just say women's retreat, and the goddamn thing is sold out. What are you women doing?
Ignoring your stupid, hairy, unshaved asses. That's what we're doing.
But, you know, I think this generation, like my daughter's generation, they're back. There was a little bit of, like, solitude in this last whatever 10 years, but pro COVID, I think it's happening again. The gathering of the great women, you know, you go out and do your stuff, and we like to look at smelly soaps for an afternoon, so leave us alone.
Do you have any memories of when you met some of the women in your circle there, like Luann?
Of course, Nona? Yes. I met Luann. I was at a very, this multi, back then this was rich millionaires. Now you might as well just file for bankruptcy immediately. I know,
that's like blue collar now.
I mean, according to Britain, unless you're making seven figures, you can't even order DoorDash these days.
But, I know, you're making $1 million. You live on the set of Roseanne, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, really? Because then I think I'm in trouble. But you know, back then, you know, we went to a Bar Mitzvah, and I think they spent literally like $250,000 on it, which, by the way, back then was like, what? And Luann was dancing on. I'd known Luann because I'd lived in London, and I'd, you know, she, when I would ever go in the summer to wherever, south of France, whatever we did back then in the glory days, the heydays of wealthy husbands and lifestyles, you know, I would see her and I knew of her, and you would see her at parties. But it was really, and that's where I kind of, we met on the dance floor at a bar mitzvah. We just, I just saw her and I think, oh my God, I think I know that woman from London. And I hopped on the dance floor and the rest was history. Ramona, I knew because Ramona's been around. You can't live on, in the same way you cannot go to a party in Palm Beach in New York City without seeing Ramona. You can't live on the Upper East Side without seeing Ramona. And our kids went to school together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And Sonia has always been a fixture. I mean, Sonia was the great organizer of the wealthy men with women early days. I mean, she truly has been doing that a long time and very good at it. Yeah, well, you just said, let me tell you, so there was a club on, I think right now it's called, it's something else now. Anyway, it was on 60th between Park and Madison, and they had a rope. And our biggest dream was to get through the rope. You had to be friends with Tiger or something. And I remember Sonia would come in at night. We were all very young and broke, but, you know, we could always have enough money to get someone to buy us a drink at this late night place. You know, we never paid for drinks. We would just target a man and be like, thank you. And Sonia would walk in a room, and I tell you something, she really had something. Like, she just, men loved her. And you turned your head when you saw Sonia walk in a room.
Yeah. Wow. Still do, eh? Still got it, Son. So what do you think about this new crop of shows coming out? Obviously, we're still pissed at the Traitors. Do you think about going on Love Hotel?
Yeah, I'd go on Love. I think I'd be great at Love Hotel.
You would be.
But they have to bring in some great hairy guys from Queens. I need a mafia guy. Yeah.
I don't think they're about that was one of the biggest surprises.
White crocodile shoe bullshit. I want a nice, solid guy from Queens that will take me to Rao's twice a year. Good. Oh, hell yeah. That's all I
think
need.
They would get them. I was actually impressed with the guys because I thought they were just going to get a bunch of like tweezed and waxed, you know, Instagram guys. And they actually got real guys.
They had some good silver foxes.
Really like this, and I like it because it's definitely a show that they can roll out. You know, I think Kiki said that yesterday, but it's true. Although I still never understood why they just didn't keep going with the Ultimate Girls Trips. I know that they say it's because of the, but why? That's some sort of bizarre. You know, we're all told these things on TV, like we're not eating oranges on Tuesday because. You have an orange on Tuesday, you know, so we never really know why, but, you know, we did St. Bart's and it was such a huge success and it kind of appeased the masses.
Yeah. You know?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen. And ultimately, you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Some people get a wild haircut or book a spontaneous trip when life throws them a curveball. But Molly? Well, she dove headfirst into a world of no-strings-attached sex, secret rendezvous, forbidden affairs, and unforgettable adventures. And together, we tell every juicy detail in Dying for Sex, Wondery's award-winning podcast that's now streaming on a TV near you, starring Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. And to top it off, we're dropping brand new bonus episodes where I sit down with the cast to spill all the spicy secrets. Desire, friendship, self-discovery, and the ultimate bucket list of pleasure. This is a story that had everyone talking. Listen to the original Dying for Sex and brand new episodes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the original series before anyone else and completely ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. Until one day,
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Cat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are locked.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Cat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's why also, by the way, just, you know, Ronnie just mentioned the traitors briefly. One of like the big, big, big draws of this season was because you were going to be on it. And I was really so excited to see you at the round table, like really kind of like cross-examining
people. Stop it. I'm going to cry again. I cried for one straight month after I got murdered.
A whole month? Oh my God.
If they said, hey.
I saw a psychologist over it. I was so upset.
You did? Oh my God, babe.
My therapist, I felt like such, I had gone in there with such glory and excitement and I really prepared myself in every single way. Hannah had me basically get a PhD in traders. I worked out, my clothes were just fucking off the record. I mean, and yeah, I went there with those six suitcases and I came home with those six suitcases and I was like, Hannah, come home because I don't want to look at that shit ever again. Take it all.
Wait, were you at the psychologist? Was it because like you thought like people didn't like you or like what was your...
I went to my therapist. Like my therapist. I just had to talk it through because I just was... first of all, I don't... Kiki, I'm so Sagittarian, as you know, because you're one of us. We just don't fail at shit. You know what I mean? So, and I'm so competitive that it was... This was usually I can control my environment. You know, this was an uncontrollable defeat and such a huge defeat. And I was so excited and I knew that I could create some, you know, great content storing the castle and my fabulous Alaya black gown. You know what I mean? That I had this image in my mind and, you know, within 36 hours, there I was back at JFK.
Oh, but if they asked you to come back again, would you be like, no, I'm not going to put myself through that again?
Or no, I would hope because I don't think I really got the experience.
Yeah, I want them to bring you back because I think the outrage online was huge because honestly, because you have always been so, so amazing in group settings, whether you're being funny, whether you're going off on someone, it's just like you're very compelling to watch. And so I think a lot of us were excited to at the idea of you just being at that round table and someone giving a line of bullshit and you just coming for them. And we felt robbed. And so I personally think the producers should reach out to you again. And,
well, it was there was a hashtag going around because they're called hashtag abandoned traders US. And I actually had to go on and do a promo saying, no, it's going to be great, you know, because yeah, it was a great season anyway.
It was
great. Somehow they made the show without me. God, I was, you know, there was a little part of me that was like, I don't want it to be so good.
And Chanel too, by the way, the back-to-back of you and Chanel was really hard for us Bravo fans. Cause also Chanel, we saw the outside of Chanel. And that was,
it was the first time I noticed the kind of divide between Drag Race fans and Housewives fans. I didn't know that there was like a brewing there. That was so weird. And I was like, well, I'm not going up against Drag Race fans. I'll just sit quiet here on the,
wow, no way. So funny? At the reunion, I had to talk with Andy and he's like, this is going to be your easiest reunion ever. I said, oh no, Andy. I'm just going to sit there and come out and not say a word. It is not my place. I was not. Of course, I get out that Bob, the drag queen. I was about to, I'm like, well, let me tell you what I
like. Yeah, you're like, how dare you? How dare you, sir? You hurt me.
Andy's looking at me like, you know, it's like, the cameras come on and I don't know. It's like, you know, camera cocaine. I can't stop myself, you know?
But that's why the Housewives are always so good, I think, on the Traitors in terms of entertainment, because the round table, I feel like the reunions prepare all of you for getting to that round table. I mean, you saw, you know, when Robin had no qualms just jumping in, and, you know, she wasn't there long, but she actually was really good.
Yeah, good.
At like making accusations. Dolores was more chill, but Dolores is generally more chill. Dolores is usually not going to start up with you unless you come for her. And it's actually funny. She came to the Crappies this year. And my friend was like, by the way, I really liked you. I hope you're having, like, I'm really enjoying you on the Traders. And she told my friend, ugh, what a lovely show. I had such a fun time. And my friend later on was like, I think she won, because there's just no way that Dolores is saying, like, what a lovely show if she got kicked off.
Yeah, because everyone else you talk to is like, it was great.
You know, people are like, oh my God, they take away your phone. I looked at it as like, wow, they're going to take away my phone. Thank God they're going to take away my, you know, we get so little silence and peace in our lives that, you know, to be obligated to be in silence and peace, I think, I mean, I do a lot of that at Bluestone Manor. So you know, I sometimes just leave my phone on a charger in my room. So, because I still come from that era where I did that, you know, I lived in London for 10 years. So we were way behind in phones. I didn't have a phone until like Hannah was 4, I think we got a phone. So that was, and we're still in London. So that was 1997? Because we were so far behind in London. Oh, and we were still doing this.
Yeah.
are you doing a Bluestone Manor show? Did I read that somewhere? Or is that just a gossip?
Yes, we are still. It's so funny. I was just on my liability insurance. But yes, we're working hard towards that. You know, I've got like 3 or 4 things in the making. So I just keep pitching away. I just think there's some show left in Bluestone Manor. I think there's one more.
One more?
Yeah.
We should do just the great Bluestone Manor tag sale. Empty that shit out and just get down with it. Everybody come and take whatever they want. I've been living on it. I said to myself, I was walking the property the other day because it's just coming back alive. And it's really interesting because I've been doing it for 20 years. And it's almost like, you know, I've got the same characters or the sons of the same characters. And I was thinking, how much longer am I going to be doing this? Like, you know what? At some point, it's the enthusiasm waves because Hannah's no longer comes as much and stuff. And my parents are older. But listen, it is, I have to say, when I was there last weekend, it is truly one of the most beautiful properties.
And you have fun neighbors. You said Elizabeth Perkins is your neighbor. Yes. Like, you know, like,
Elizabeth Perkins. There's, you know, Ken Falks up there, who's like the greatest, biggest designer, designed part of the White House at one point. The reason why the Berkshires worked for me at this point, because I think because I lived abroad for 10 years, it's much more of a British-y kind of lifestyle, like dinner parties. You know, there's no glamorous parties and all that. It's more like a country home.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Well, actually, and to that end, any plans for cookbook, Dorinda? Because we saw you cook a lot on the show.
I used to watch your YouTube cooking videos.
I'm starting those up again.
You are?
Person.
Oh, yeah, right on.
They did really, really well. You know, I it's so funny. I'm just in the midst of, I pitched a book to Simon Schuster. That's not that, but people aren't so interested in cookbooks anymore.
No.
Oh.
I think they are because they're really into the trad wife is like still a thing.
I don't know.
Things where you throw like Cheetos on the counter and then put cheese on top and then blow dry it to cook it. You know those stupid TikTok videos.
But I think if I ever did do a cookbook, and I've thought about it a lot and even laid it out on, you know, on ChatGDP, you know, how we would do it. Because we did. That's the way I do my whole life now. I'm like, I got to figure out what to eat. What should Dorinda eat tonight? And they're like, Dorinda, do you... Yeah, I love that ChatGPT.
You should be like the voice in the maps.
I would have done so much better in college if I had that, right?
You should be the voice in the maps. I'm gonna ask my maps to make you the voice and just have it.
All right, you're gonna turn left up there. I said left, like, you fucking idiot.
I said turn fucking right. Come on. I'm not well bitch about that wrong turn. Make it nice.
Changing it at the last second.
Because my mom would say,
I think if I ever did a cookbook, it'd have to be a cookbook sort of entertaining lifestyle book. That way, I think you could grab the attention. My favorite dinner
or a cookbook show, you know. Yeah. Like, I'd rather see you. I mean, I like watching you make your food, you know, and hear you talking and telling stories and stuff like that. I mean, a book. No one reads. People just pretend to read. I mean, look how unnatural it looks on The Traders when they show one of those reality stars in a bathtub reading a book. They don't even know how to hold the book.
So Kiki is great because Kiki covers all these trials, and she started going very deep yesterday about the Kim Kardashian trials.
Oh, and what have you uncovered?
And Kiki, tell them, you know, just tell them about your interests and the way you do these trials. Like, she could have been a lawyer.
I mean, I could have, but I honestly couldn't have because I hate going. The thought of going to school that long is like
you
awful.
Go deep.
But no, I mean, like, it's just like, I think most people, you know, especially when it comes to celebrity, like they want to understand what's happening. But going to actual court is like boring. Like the Tom Girardi trial, there were times I was literally like passing out I was like, this is terrible. And it wasn't until Tom was just like, you know, saying F you to the prosecutor that it's like, oh, we get exciting. But I think people just want the Sparks Notes, right? They just want the highlights of like what happened. And
we
I'm willing
the law
to like
and order version that's
exactly.
Over in
and it's like
minutes.
I'm willing to go through the like torture of it all just to get the highlights.
And you know what's great about this combining forces? You know, everybody has their methods the way they do it. You know, I kind of ran the show, I'd watch it and kind of as an ex reality star or someone that was on that understands the production, I have my point of view. And then Kiki has a totally different point of view. And it's really interesting to, you know, talk like, you know, give us, because we both learn a lot from each other, which I think helps the audience. And we have a very healthy call, which I really love. I think Kiki, a good call in radio show.
Kiki, you've been at this for a little while now, right? In terms of content creation, podcasting, et cetera. How long have you been in the game?
Honestly, it all started during like lockdown, like everyone, like when everyone was doing nothing, I just started making TikToks and I don't sing or dance. So I was like, I know how to talk. And so I'll just talk about stuff. And like, that's where it really started. And like, I just did that. And it eventually led to like where we are, which is what's so funny because it's like, you know, in the world of Bravo, like, yeah, people would probably say, yeah, I'm the fan, right? Because I was like, I am a fan who has now just like become someone who wants to talk about it a lot, which is why I do love hearing Dorinda's perspective, because someone who's been on the other side of the camera, I'm like, okay, I'm seeing things. But let me tell you, as a fan, we do not agree.
Update me on the Erica. Update me on the Erica Girardi stuff, because she's still got stuff beyond Tom, right? And like this season of Beverly Hills, they just kind of washed, you know, they walked right past all of that. But I was really into that stuff, and I just kind of got bored because trials, you know, the other thing about trials is they just take years and years
forever.
And I just
Did you hear, Kiki, that they really gave her a friends of contract?
I mean, again, I think it was, if they did that at all, I believe they did it in the same way they did it to Dorit to get a fire under her ass, because it works, right? Because like Erica's not, she has said she's not going anywhere. And she does have trials of her own that are not attached to Tom directly, that are specifically for her. And she can easily go on and say, well, I can't talk about it. It's a pending legal litigation. And so they're like, well, if you're not going to talk about it, friend of, and then maybe they'll get a fire at her ass. And maybe, you know, she had an easy season. So they're kind of like, you're not going to get any.
It's not an easy season, but you know, listen, regardless of like, if the content was there, regardless, I think it'd be a huge mistake to make her a friend of. I just think she's physically for the eyes, she's a fixture. You know, she looks great in the lineup. I think it was totally fair that she got a little pass this year.
Well, for a while, weren't they kind of casting
for years?
For a while, weren't they casting people and then telling them kind of at a later date whether or not they were friend of?
Exactly.
So, do you think it's just maybe like a threat? I think it's with you. It's like you're re-auditioning kind of.
What do you think about the Garcelle departure? That made me sad because I love Garcelle. I'm a huge Garcelle fan.
I didn't like the Garcelle departure at all, but I would have. It kind of reminded me of the Vanderpump departure where she just said, all right, fuck you then, I'm out. And I don't like that. Like, I want you to show up and I want you to fight these idiots. You know, that's the whole point. I want you to stand up for yourself. And I understand that there's underlying reasons.
You know what I think it was with Garcelle that I think got, because just knowing her, you know, what little I know about her. But she reminds me, she's a lot like me in ways. I can deal with a lot of stuff, but when people are disloyal, and I just felt she felt like she had that moment where you just turn to them and you're like, one of these things go together. Like, no one likes me here. Like that one even, and you know, I think it was very hurtful when she was called boring and doesn't show her life. And, you know, I don't know.
From Erica, who, like, one of my biggest complaints with Erica, I think in some ways Erica's really good, but one of my issues with Erica is we still don't really know who her friends are. We don't really know what her life is.
I know.
Outside of hanging with this group. And it's been like 10 years.
And we've never seen a boyfriend. I thought about that the other day. Or a date.
We don't see the sun. We don't really see anything. We only see her getting into outfits. And I just feel like
But I think that is her.
For me, it's enough.
Yeah. Like for me, that is her. I don't know that she has boyfriends and I'm not accusing her of anything, but I think that sometimes I think a lot of that was just an act, her like oversexed sex kitten thing. I think, yeah, you know, she went home to Tom.
You never see Erica out with Mystery Man. You did with briefly. I think she was in Las Vegas and there was some guy during the trial, but I don't even know if that was
about Rush Limbaugh looking guy who owns the casinos.
But you rarely see caught, you know, Erica with a man leaving a restaurant. I actually go as far to say, I think Erica's probably when she's not working or performing is a big home buddy. She loves her home so much.
Which is why it was obnoxious that she called Garcelle boring. Because it's like, okay, call me boring, but you don't get to call me boring when you're not showing all these things or if you're not showing them because you don't have them going on. And I think that Garcelle also was just like, wow, I don't know if these people like me.
Yes.
I'm not getting any backup from Sutton. And on top of that, I'm at a place right now where I'm producing these movies. I've got
a brand new grandchild.
Yeah. Like I've got a house.
I've got
Why
a house.
Am I
got my beach.
These people.
She parlayed She parlayed it into something better pretty early on. So I think she was like, okay, I got it. Bye.
And not only that, I think the thing with Sutton, I would think knowing Sutton that she feels very bad about that. You know, that happens sometimes. The show, you get yourself in a thing with the show, it takes over and you run with it. And then you realize, oh, that's right. You really are my friend. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're hoping the off season allows you to re-knit back together. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, you know, the show takes over and you forget that you've got to ride or die to the left because, you know, you're kind of getting the glitz and glamour and fame of it all.
Yeah. Were there any relationships you felt in your life and your experience on Roni where you're like, oh, that's too bad. Like the show kind of like we sort of lost our way because of it.
No, because we always knit back together. Anyone that was worth knowing, anybody that I ever talked to, now I'm pleased not to talk to.
Yeah, you're fine not to talk to. So keep
but I'm very Sagittarian like that. You know what I mean? Like
me too. December 4th over here.
Yes.
Yeah. When you're done, you're done.
Yes.
Well, I'm never done, which is why I'm going to bring this up again.
When I'm done, I'm done. But what I will do is I don't sweat the small stuff. So if it's just an argument or something that we can get past, I'm like, let's just put it behind us.
I think as we get older too, we see how cycles work with people. Yeah. And it's like people come and people go. And
that's it.
You keep the close ones close and fuck the rest, you know?
But story Kiki, of my life.
Update me on, I really want to know about the Erica Girardi Marco case. What's happening with that?
You know, that's the thing. Like, I've been trying to keep up. It looked like there was a filing because it looks like I guess there was a case also happening in Florida or something. And I guess from maybe the other partner. And there was a filing that wasn't done by her attorney. And so there was like could be a default judgment automatically that goes towards it. But I don't know if that's being rectified. Hmm. But that one is definitely still headed to trial. I know that she tried to get it dismissed, but it's definitely going to trial. I just don't know when because I think that her bankruptcy, like the $25 million, like because what we learned in the Tom Girardi trial is, you know, $25 million did get transferred to EJ Global LLC, and so there is a case basically around that, and so I think that's happening first. Okay. And so I think, you know, I don't know. Again, like you said, trials.
Well,
take
thanks. You saved me the
forever.
Googling because I get tired.
How is all these lawyers getting paid? I mean,
I think the Vegas guy. No.
Yeah,
I think the Russian guy.
They must be on contingency because I know myself. I talked to my trademark lawyer and 2 days later I have a bill for $6,208. I'm like, what? I just asked me, tell me how to spell my trademark that I post. You know,
I know. So, that's how I am. I'm like, please don't make us call the lawyer.
Yes.
Anything
so you
that.
Can
we go on legal
what
Zoom?
Bills these people like I was even thinking about Dorit and PK. Like, you know that's gonna be an expensive. And it's so interesting, Kiki, because and we'll talk about it today in the show. But remember yesterday, everyone was asking this 10-year why he waited. Mm-hmm. Why he didn't file before the 10-year mark.
Yeah.
And it's kind of all coming out.
But isn't that because aren't they saying that the moment of separation is when it counts anyway. But then she put on the filing when she filed TBD on the date of separated.
You know why TBD. I think no, it doesn't. You have to actually file it because.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for financial reasons. That's the beginning. But you really do have to file because if you reach the 10-year mark of being legally married, when you file, you start to do the dissolvement of the marriage, right? Mm. But what's interesting is because people always look at, you know, when they're going to split the equitable distribution. But if you got to remember, equitable distribution works in both ways, when you have money and when you have debt.
Well, that's the big question with them, right? Because do they even have money still? Listening to Bravo Docket, which I love, and they were going through PK's cases, and that man was worth like $750 million. Like his businesses were worth a ton of money. And then he went through all these bankruptcies and all of this, and now they're not paying their mortgage for months at a time. They just got that paid off. But I think the question is like, do they have any? Where is it hidden? Like,
well,
where is
the bigger
it
question you know is what kind, the bigger question in divorce is what does he have, but what are his debts? Because that's what they take out first. The debts, you know, are always the scariest part of any, you know.
Because what was used as collateral on debts? That's what that's the scariest part. What is stuff going to start getting repoed?
Then the only option is to sell the house.
Yeah.
If someone can't buy out the other one, then there's a force.
Well, they don't own that house, I believe, is owned by one of his business LLCs with multiple partners. So I don't even think she would get a ton from that. But we have to let you go. But before we go, give us a prediction of the next Real Housewife to go down with legal issues. We'll start with you. We'll start with you, Keith.
Oh, my God. The next. Oh, I feel like, oddly enough, I think Kyle Richards might end up only because Mauricio. No. I keep hearing things about Mauricio, and because they're still married, I feel like she might get dragged into it in an Erica Jane type situation. Really? I'm just saying.
Kathy said this year something like he doesn't have the money to pay somebody off. Like she made a comment like that that was like Mauricio. What doesn't he though?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. I just feel like that could be, I feel like there could be a shocker in that situation and it could be around that.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. What do you think, Dorinda?
Well, I don't have any backing on this. So I'm just
guessing. Don't need backing.
No, you just want to guess?
Yeah, just a guess.
You want the, I mean, if the gods were to whisper in my ear, I think we're going to see some problems. I can't get sued for this, can I? No.
We're just
guessing. Do I have to say the word allegedly?
We're just guessing. Allegedly. This is like a Deadpool where you guess who's going to die in the next year. It's just morbid curiosity.
I feel like there's a lot of shit and things going around Bronwyn from Salt Lake City.
There is, yes.
And there's some,
ooh, that's going to be an interesting season.
It seems
season.
To be accumulating fast. And I don't know, something... I just have a feeling, and I think those girls are digging it out as we speak.
They are. That cast is going to fuck with your life. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I would. especially that entire cast. It could be that entire cast because, like, between like Lisa Barlow and Whitney Rose, like the bottom's going to fall out somewhere. I also think that Drew Sidora could wind up having something.
Really?
That's a good one.
That one's kind of. Doesn't she already?
we're just trying to figure out what her husband does. I mean,
nobody knows. Well, he does. He's whatever he's doing. He's doing it from a very nice basement with a screen. Mm-hmm. Room. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for being here. When can we check out Reality Check?
I hope
when your show's on.
It's on every Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Radio Andy Channel 102 Sirius XM.
Beautiful. We'll be listening. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo. She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.